Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host, and we are discussing with the Tuolumne County Health Officer, Dr. Bob Bernstein, a recent conference held in the county on opioid addiction. And you were just about to tell us about four strategies.
Yeah, thanks for asking that question, Tracy. The state of California, like all of the other states in the country and many places in other parts of the world, are facing what has been recognized and described as an epidemic of various adverse events as a result of substance abuse, substance use disorders, and opioid use among them. So in order to address this problem, a set of four strategic approaches have been elaborated based on evidence of what works and what doesn't work and what's most cost effective. So the first of those strategies, it'll be no surprise to anybody, is to try to prevent addiction and the harm associated with addiction in the first place. Actually, in Tuolumne County, one of the events that precipitated the establishment of our opioid safety coalition was recognizing the egregious practices of a physician who was located here and was prescribing so many doses and ultimately was arrested and prosecuted for that practice.
And of course, you're talking about Dr. Lori Beth Sostock and her partner Vanessa Lynn Sostock, who were both arrested at their medical offices on 56 felony drug-related charges following a seven-month investigation in July of 2015. And they later agreed to a plea agreement. So when you have someone like a doctor giving out these pills, how do you combat that?
So one of the important ways to address preventing addiction is to limit the number of starts on long-term opioid use and choose alternative ways to deal with acute and chronic pain. And this is no surprise to the community of Tuolumne County is not just the responsibility of practicing physicians or dispensing pharmacists, but also us, the public. We need to be able to accept that that there are harms associated with medications that doctors may prescribe for us, even if they prescribe them properly. So in order to prevent addiction and harm, we want to try to limit the number of new starts on opioids. We want to use opioids for fewer diagnoses and for shorter durations and at lower doses. We want to try to limit the diversion of medications, opioid medications and other medications that could be used improperly in the household by storing them properly away from children and adolescents and taking advantage of the turn back or give back program when medications are out of date. And I can talk a little bit more about that. The police department and the sheriff's office provide a location to dispose of medications no longer being used. The second really important area is education and communication. Education for providers and dispensers, communication with the public to try to contribute to efforts to prevent addiction, but also to raise awareness in schools and in the community about the fact that medications can lead to harm. The other approaches in managing chronic pain safely include, again, alternative ways to treat pain and slowly tapering high dosages to safer dosages. The third strategy is in treating addiction, to take advantage of what's been learned from the use of medically assisted treatments, the use of a medication that actually reduces pain but does not addict, called buprenorphine. I apologize for that name. But
That is a strange one.
It's a strange one. It's true. But for those people who are affected by opioid and substance use disorders and can find the right practitioner to discuss this with, there are medications that can be helpful in this regard. I can talk about the sites that people can go to in a later segment. And then the final of the fourth strategies recommended is, of course, to stop the deaths that have been occurring when people accidentally overdose or somehow are affected by opioids. This even occurs in law enforcement settings, such as in Alameda County recently, when law enforcement personnel were accidentally exposed to fentanyl dust, and fentanyl is a very powerful opioid. So there's a need to make a naloxone, a medication that will reverse an opioid, a near-fatal or a fatal near-fatal dose of opioid. And this naloxone, the state and the federal government have agreed can be made available without prescription. So if people are on a opioid medication, they actually should be provided at the same time with co-medicine, a supply of naloxone. And our emergency services and police and emergency personnel are being trained, and naloxone is becoming more available in the community, but there's still a need to improve that. Another area is to introduce in the substance abuse, opioid abuse area, a way to dispose of needles that have been used, and ideally to be able to exchange needles for clean needles. That's very controversial, but the fact is that it's a public health measure that works very effectively in countries like Canada and in other parts of the United States and the state of California. And then finally, those were the four strategic approaches. But in addition to that, there needs to be a way to monitor and measure and evaluate whether or not the way we implement these strategies is actually being effective. So that's a kind of a public health surveillance and response approach.
In regards to our area, how bad is the opioid crisis? Because we hear about it across the country, but what are we seeing here?
Well, thanks for that question, because actually in the time since we first encountered the doctor who was so egregiously overdosing and recognized that we have a problem as well as the rest of the country, we've actually had quite a lot of success in reducing the numbers of prescriptions, the death rates, the number of prescriptions for opioids, the death rate from opioids, and so forth. But we are having an increase in the number of emergency room visits for opioid-related disorders. And that's not only a health problem, but it's an economic problem.
Right.
Because prevention, you know the phrase, it's better than cure. There's been a remarkable increase in visits to the emergency room for opioid use disorders. So in general, we're doing well. We're a small county, about 50,000 or so people, 55,000 people. So our statistics are a little bit difficult to monitor and evaluate because the numerators, the number of people who have a near-fatal event, and the denominator, the people among whom they live, are both small numbers. And so if you try to calculate a rate from that and compare that rate over time, it's what epidemiologists or statisticians call an unstable number. The uncertainty around that rate is, I can't draw a picture over the radio, but it's a broad level area of uncertainty. And so it's difficult to be totally confident that we're doing as well as we'd like to think we are doing.
What do you hope comes out of this conference with your strategies and everything? What's the next step?
That's a terrific question. I'm really glad you asked that. So we've had a coalition in place now since about 2015, 2016, and there have been successes. In the years since the previous health officer left her position, there's been efforts to maintain the pace. But one of the outcomes, I think, from this conference is the level of energy and excitement in learning the lessons that the speakers spoke about. And again, as I mentioned, all this material will be available on the county website and the public access TV website. And to move forward in those four strategic areas as a group of stakeholders coming together to work on this problem.
We have been discussing an opioid addiction conference that was recently held here in the county, and we will be back with another segment of Motherlode Views. But first, we are sponsored by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small, and we'll be right back.